So, we're continuing in our series that we started off last week, looking at Jesus and who he is and what he's done. And this week, looking at when he sent his disciples out on mission, when he sent them out to go and spread the good news. And across the Gospels, there were three different accounts of this happening, different versions of the story, and a fourth one in Luke, where he sends 72 out instead of 12. And there's questions at the back for home groups, and I would encourage you to read all the different accounts of this, because all of them are so important, and they give slightly different viewpoints of it. This morning, I want to focus on Matthew's account, just because he goes into just a little bit more detail. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, which in the Bibles in the seats is page 975. And we're just going to read from verses 1 to 16. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave the home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Father God, thank you for your word. I thank you that there's so much that we can learn from it, so much promises that you give us to take forward into life. And I pray that this morning you would speak through me, that we would learn about what you have done here today. Amen. All right, so Jesus brings his 12 disciples together, and he calls them out to go out like sheep among wolves. He gives them authority to drive out demons and heal all sicknesses and preach the message that the kingdom of heaven is near. All right, he's sending them out on this mission, a kind of a short-term mission, if you will, and he wants them to come back, and it's a practice, doing mission, doing ministry without Jesus there with him. You know, he gives them a lot of guidelines, lots of pointers, lots of things to think about, but he doesn't kind of spoon-feed them the how of what they're going to do. In coaching, one of my favorite styles of coaching is a thing called guided discovery, right? And essentially what it means is you give the student kind of parameters, guidelines to work with, and then say, go out, try it, see what happens, come back and tell me how it went. See what works, see what doesn't quite work, come back and tell me how it goes. And the kind of the vague you are with the guidelines, the more the student has to work out for themselves, the more they have to discover for themselves. What Jesus is doing here is he's giving the disciples quite specific guidelines. Stay in the house that welcomes you. If they don't, then do this. If they do, then do this. He's given them a lot to work with as they go, a lot of kind of guidelines, a lot of parameters to work with. He's preparing them, he's training them for when he goes up to heaven and sends them out again in Matthew 28, but this time he won't be physically with them. He's giving them a bit of independence with it. And, you know, we have independence with our ministry. And what I mean by this is there isn't a kind of strict ABC in spreading the good news. And healing and spreading the good news, there are guidelines and there are parameters, but within those, we're able to have our own style with it, our own way of doing it. If every preacher had the same style every single Sunday, then we'd get bored. And one of the things I love about this church, about TBC, is the fact that there's such a range of different preachers and styles. No 2 weeks are the same. So the first thing I really want to say is, just because someone prays for someone that way and uses those words when they pray, or because someone worships a certain way and does their hands like this, doesn't mean you have to. We're all different and unique, and God made us that way to do things differently, but we worship the same God with the same purpose. Now, Jesus essentially gives his disciples a 5-minute brief and then says, go. Right? Whoa! Have you ever felt like that? Ever been put in a situation where all the panicked arms are going and you're kind of like, I'm not ready. And you're thinking, well, God promised me not to put me in something that I'm not ready for. And you're kind of raging a bit and complaining a bit. And then you do it and you kind of give it all to God and you're like, thanks, God. I wasn't so bad after all. And you realize that you kind of look back over your life and the moments leading up to that specific thing. And you think, I can see what God was doing there. I can see how he was leading me into this specific area. You know, I'd imagine that's how the disciples would have felt when Jesus said, go. I'm not ready. But then, and you know, I'm just speculating here, but as they begin their ministry, they look back, you know, like all this time Jesus has been training us, we are ready. Do you remember the first time you drove a car, right? Years of observing and listening to your parents driving, and then finally it's your turn to do it. Finally it's your turn. Maybe with your parent in the passenger seat for the first time, and you get in, and the nerves are there, you put the clutch down, you put it into first, and you're like, am I going to do it? And you pull away, and it stalls. No, you pull away, and it's like, oh, I did it. I can do it. And then the confidence grows, and all the observing kind of clicks into place, and then you're away. And suddenly the roads get bigger, and there's more cars on them, and you know your confidence keeps growing and growing and growing. And then before you know it, you're driving on your own. The freedom. You know, this is what it was like for the disciples. And remember, disciples means student, and they later became the apostles, which means messenger or ambassador. Up to this point, they had been observing Jesus, listening to him minister, and now they're about to go and do it for themselves. You know, and they are more than qualified. What am I saying? If you feel like God is calling you to step into a new area of ministry, or to talk to someone you haven't talked to before, or to pray for something or someone that you haven't prayed for before, don't let the fear of being unprepared, or the fear of being not ready, or not qualified enough, or not having enough degrees, to stop you. Because God says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's Ephesians 2:10. I believe there's four key things that Jesus gave his disciples in preparation. And I think they're things that we all know, but I think they're things that we can easily forget. Paul, in all his letters, demonstrates them. The start of all his letters are very, very similar. I'm just going to read the first 7 verses of Romans. If I can find it. Here we go. I, Paul, am writing this letter. I serve Christ Jesus. I've been appointed to be an apostle. God set me apart to tell others his good news. He promised the good news long ago. He announced it through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about God's Son. As a human being, the Son of God belonged to the King David's family line. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was appointed to be the mighty Son of God because he rose from the dead. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. I received God's grace because of what Jesus did so that I could bring glory to him. He made me an apostle to all those who aren't Jews. I must invite them to have faith in God and obey him. You are among those who are appointed to belong to Christ Jesus. I am sending this letter to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and appointed to be his people. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Look at the first verse, right? I am Paul, servant of Jesus Christ. I've been appointed to be an apostle. God set me apart to tell others the good news. He knows who he is. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ. He knows who sent him. God sent me, and he knows what he's going to do to tell others the good news. I.e., he knows his identity. He knows his boss, he knows his purpose, and he knows whose authority he has to do it. I think I've shared this before, the actor Peter Sellers, very famous for Pink Panther, was once walking along and quoted saying, someone walked up and said, are you Peter Sellers? And he said, not today. He'd played so many different characters over his life, so many different things that he'd acted in and played and taken on board this whole personality of a completely different person, that he'd kind of lost sight of who it was to be Peter Sellers. Pete spoke on identity quite recently, and so I'm not going to go into it in detail again, but church, do you know who you are this morning? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and came back to life? And do you know that you can live in that freedom today? Ephesians 2:8 says, God's grace has saved you because of your faith in Christ. Your salvation doesn't come from anything you do. It is God's gift. If you accept Jesus into your life, your identity is in him. And that cannot change. And that cannot be shaken. But we can forget that. So let's live in that this morning. His boss, the disciples knew it was Jesus that sent him because they were right there and he was right there and he said, go. But with Paul, Jesus had already gone up to heaven at this point, and Paul was on his way to Damascus where he's going to continue his work kind of fighting against God's people and putting them in prison. And there's this bright light and Jesus calls out to him and says, go and tell the people you're going to tell them about me and tell them the good news about what I've done. He gave him his purpose. Now, I'm not saying that everyone will be blinded by light and hear Jesus the way that Paul did. But are you aware of God's voice in your life? Are you giving time to listen to God's calling in your life? Not just to ask for things and pray about things, but actually to stop and listen. Listen to his direction and his guidance. If you've never heard his voice in your life, and when I say that, I don't always mean a clear, distinct voice. Sometimes it is like that, sometimes it isn't. Then ask and pray for awareness of God speaking into your life. Again, I've shared this before, but before I came to Minadon, I had this plan for my life about going to uni, and it was completely different to what I'm doing now, basically. And I didn't really listen to God's calling on my life up until the point that the doctor said to me, Joe, you can't go to uni. It's about as clear as it gets, really, isn't it? And then I said to God, okay, God, right, I'm here now. What do you want me to do? And he brought me here. Now, again, I'm not saying that everyone will hear it like that and the way that I did, but are we listening to God's voice in our life? And purpose. I want to be clear when I say purpose that I don't mean the disciples or Paul knew exactly what was going to happen when they went out, because I guarantee they didn't. But what they did know, what they were called to do, and what we are all called to do. The disciples were called to, and it says in verse 7, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Salvation is the most key. Notice that? He says that first. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, bring those who are dead back to life, make those who have skin diseases clean again, and drive out demons. And then in Matthew 28, verse 18, the Great Commission, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you must go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end. That's just before Jesus ascends up to heaven, and he sends his disciples out on the big mission, the lifelong mission, the mission that we all have, the mission to expand God's kingdom and bring the good news. This is our purpose. To show the light of Jesus to the world. In our passage this morning, Jesus said, you received freely, so give freely. And in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Also, people do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Then it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of others. Then they will see the good things you do, and they will praise your Father who's in heaven. I'm going to use a water-based analogy here, because I like water quite a lot. And as a happy coincidence, the Bible refers to rivers and water quite a lot as well. At Minadon, we're based on an estuary, the outdoor centre where I work, which is the bit in between the river and the sea, right, if you didn't know. And the river Maldak flows into the estuary, and then the tide pulls the water out to the sea where it flows all around the world. We receive God's love and grace and freedom from heaven flowing like a river into us. Flowing like a river into us. And then it's our job to share that love with the world. Not to hold on to it. Not to keep it inside, but to let it flow out of us to the people that we meet. Because we have received freely, we can give freely. You know, there's lots of ways we could do this, whether it's something specific like leading worship or preaching or working with young people, or whether it's simply by living out our lives and letting people notice the difference. Let Jesus work in your lives and people will see it. People will see it. One of the most amazing things we can do is pray for people. And when we do that, we aren't doing anything other than letting Jesus' power flow through us to the people that we pray for. Why? Because Jesus has authority over all things. And he is living in us. So we have that authority. Which leads me to my last point. Jesus doesn't send them out alone. And you know, when we go out, we aren't going out alone either. When Jesus first sends out his disciples, the Holy Spirit hasn't come upon them yet, but Jesus gives them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every illness and sickness. In Luke's account, it says he gave them power and authority. It's important, I think, to know the difference. The Greek word for power is dunamis, which means the strength, the force, the capability, the ability, the raw power to do an action. And the Greek word for authority is exousia, I think. Pronouncing wise, anyway. Which means absolute power. The power exercised by rulers. You could have a 6'6" bloke stacked like a brick wall at the gym, has raw power to do pretty much anything. But unless he goes to police academy and gets the certificate and the thing that says he's allowed to arrest people, he has no authority to do it. You know, something cool about authority, the devil doesn't have it. He has power, yeah. Not loads, but he does have power. But he has no authority. When Jesus died and then came back to life, he broke the power over death and sin, and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The devil has no authority. We, through Jesus, have authority over sickness and illness and demons. Through Jesus, we can see people's lives changed. When we pray, it isn't about us, and it isn't about us doing it necessarily. It's about Jesus' power flowing through us, through the Holy Spirit. It's like uncorking a bottle. We go out with Jesus through his Holy Spirit inside us, and we let his love flow over people. And we pray for people in his name. With the authority of the one who came to save the lost, set the captives free, heal the sick, and we will see his kingdom come. Amen.